I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snuck a look out of the window. Foggy, foggy, foggy. You can't see the Crescent City connection from Poydrason Magazine. He said it's supposed to lift by 9 o'clock. It's going to have to hurry up if that's going to happen. We're under a dense fog advisory. Be very safe as you drive around. And I'll remind you that if you missed any part of what we talked about this morning or any of your favorite hosts here talk about on WWL, you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. You can listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. You just download the Odyssey app and follow me, Tommy Tucker. It's that easy. We realize you can't always listen to the entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy for you to listen when you want, how you want. That goes for me or any of the WWL shows you love. You just download the free Odyssey app today, or take control and just tell your smart speaker, play WWL. I say that because if you go to WWL.com, you'll find my name, Tommy Tucker, and you'll see an interview we did last week with Maureen Molak. She was the lady that lost her child to cyberbullying, and she was in favor of the Kids Online Safety Act, or as it's otherwise known, COSA. But that's not the way everybody feels about it. Josh Withrow joins us now, fellow in technology and innovation at the R Street Institute, to say why he thinks it's probably not such a good bill or a good idea. So I just wanted to give you that note about the Odyssey app so you could go back and listen to what she had to say. With that, we welcome in Josh. How you doing, Josh?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me about the Kids Online Safety Act for those that don't know what it says or calls for.
Yeah, so the Kids Online Safety Act is a multi-part bill, but sort of the core of it is this is what they call a duty of care. And basically, it says that for online social media platforms, they have this like fiduciary duty to design their websites in a way that prevents kids from being exposed to content that might cause various kinds of physical or mental harms to them. And the problem is that it defines these harms in such a way that are so broad that and subjective that it could, essentially give regulators the capability to define very broadly large amounts of speech that websites would have to prevent exposure to. And that includes things that may cause, in the bill, the following mental health disorders: anxiety, depression, eating disorders, substance use disorders, and suicidal behaviors. And so, of course, how you define that ends up getting left with, depending on which version of the bill you have, various government regulators. And it could, of course, encompass anything that, you know, what causes you anxiety. If you can imagine that, that's how broad the speech is that they might be forced to control under this bill.
I'm an absolutist when it comes to the First Amendment. This applies to just social media is what we're talking about here, or what, specific sites?
Yeah, as they have it defined in the bill, it would apply to larger social media platforms. They've tinkered around with the threshold of like how many websites or how broad it would apply to, but it would certainly apply to all of the large platforms you and I know, like, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, those sort of things.
So take me through that again. The bill says that you would the bill says that things that would cause eating disorders or anxiety or that could include advertising, is what you're saying, or not?
It's basically any kind of content, right? So, yeah, it's mostly, I think this is mostly applying to third-party content that is actually posted on the sites. And so, what I think the bill sponsors are trying to get after is the idea that that these websites' algorithms are feeding kids content that they, you know, that they don't want or don't need to be exposed to. In practice, because of the liability that's imposed on these sites, if basically it allows state attorneys general to compile these cases and sue websites for exposure to any content that's listed under here, and websites would therefore have the incentive to basically take down anything that they get challenged on, and that could include anything that any parent convinces an attorney general is causing their kids anxiety.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I see the logo for your organization is Free Markets Real Solutions. We'll talk about what a free markets real solution, in your opinion, would be to this, because I presume, would you agree there is a problem with social media and kids and suicides and cyberbullying and all that, or not?
I agree that instances of these problems exist. Whether it's generalized, I might contest that.
Okay, we'll talk about it when we come back with Josh Withrow, fellow in technology innovation at the R Street Institute. You can tell me what you think on the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. Do you think there needs to be regulation when it comes to kids and social media? Or is that, I presume what Josh is saying, that's up to the parent to take control over? Although if you go back and listen to what Maureen Molak had to say, she says it was something deep and dark and beyond what she could control. 8:51, and I'm paraphrasing that, 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:55, 5 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Last week we spoke with a lady who lost her son to online bullying and cyber safety. She's in support of the Kids Online Safety Act, KOSA, and she was calling on Steve Scalise, Mike Johnson, et cetera, to get it in the House. I think it passed the Senate, or like 97-3. Is that right, Josh? I remember that correctly?
That's correct, yes.
All right, now they want the House to take it up. So let me read a couple of texts here, and then we'll get back to what I asked you before. All of the data and majority of experts agree that social media has a negative effect on kids. Somebody else said, of course there should be regulation, even though TV and radio are more lax than before. There are still things you won't see in here, so that should be on the web. Somebody else said, could you ban every kind of presidential campaign, please? It causes stress, anxiety, and depression. I guess that was said kind of tongue-in-cheek. And somebody else said, people need to learn how to not put themselves into a compromised position. Are social media sites absolutely necessary? I guess you could have a debate about, are we better or off with or without social media, but that doesn't matter because it is here and it's not going away. I mentioned earlier about real solutions, free markets. How would you ideally like to see this done? Is this up to the parents to control their kids and regulate the social media usage? And is this something where you think the government's getting in the way of the parents, or parents are trying to farm this out to government maybe?
Yeah, I do think in terms of something as broad of a law as COSA, just regulating sort of all speech and how sites should be structured, I do think that's far too broad. And I think that needs to be left at least more up to the parents. Mm-hmm. And it's because, the scientists who are trying to study what kind of effects social media actually have on kids have kind of agreed it's neither inherently harmful nor inherently beneficial. It's completely context dependent, right? So content that might be harmful to some kids might be completely innocuous to others and vice versa. And it's one of those things where, a kid's maturity depends on a given age as well. So attempting to regulate the speech on an entire platform for all kids and all parents is inherently going to, take some opportunities away from folks who would be fine with it and vice versa. So I do think that to a large extent, this should be left to households to determine. And if there's a government role, it might be in helping parents figure out how to navigate that.
So you're no stranger to political environments and contexts. Tell me why this passed with such bipartisan support out of the Senate and why the House seems reluctant to take it up. Are they?
Yeah, well, I think I don't think there was a whole lot of critical debate on this bill in the Senate, to be perfectly honest with you. It kind of rushed through and just sailed through the process. So there was a bunch of senators in the committee who expressed concerns with it, but basically kind of just let it slide. In the House, I'll give credit to Speaker Johnson and Majority Leader Scalise, is that the objections they're raising to this bill are very similar to the ones that I would, in terms of they've realized there are real, potentially constitutional and structural concerns with respect to free speech that are inherent in the structure of this bill, and that just make it, even if the bill were to pass, there's a pretty good likelihood that at least large chunks of it would get struck down in court anyway because of the way it affects free speech and access to speech.
Would you support any kind of bill if it restricted any type of content on the internet for kids or what they saw, or is that strictly up to the parents because you said it depends on the context and the content?
I mean, sure, there are certain kinds of content that I think absolutely everyone can agree we want to protect our kids from, and that obviously includes things like pornography. When it comes to broad categories of speech like that, there already are laws in place to try to prevent sites from exposing kids to that. I think those should be enforced. But when it comes to contextual speech, the sort of things that might cause anxiety, I think that's the kind of thing that's subjective and needs to be left up to, users of the site, parents. And, it should be maybe incumbent on the platforms to provide better tools, which they are increasingly doing, to allow parents to control access to the sites. But that's something that should happen as a negotiation between consumers and the companies, and not based on sort of a single government fiat where the FTC gets to decide, for example, what's harmful to kids and what's not.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate the other side of it. Josh Withrow, fellow in technology and innovation at the R Street Institute. It's called the Kids Online Safety Act. got out of the Senate 97-3, big bipartisan effort there. He says he doesn't think there was a lot of investigation into it. The House is putting the brakes on it. We could take a break. We come back, we'll talk about putting the brakes on moving homeless encampments with Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.